Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace.
Or feeling like you are losing hope, serving, leading, trying to do what's right? Sometimes me too. You're not alone, but we have really good news for you today. So our guest today is near and dear to my heart, our family's heart. His children's book series, You Are Special, has been a key part of our family routine and something I've used in our Courageous Girls curriculum and my first book, Courageous, Being Daughters Rooted in Grace. Little Punchinello has become a good friend of ours. We have Max Lucado with us, and he's here if you need some good encouragement today.
Oh, Max is a pastor and speaker and best-selling author with more than 145 million products in print, which have been translated into 56 languages and distributed across 80 countries worldwide. Wow, that's awesome. Known for delivering timeless messages of hope and encouragement in his signature writing style, combining poetic storytelling and homespun humor, Lucado is America's favorite and most prolific inspirational author. Max's latest book is called God Never Gives Up on You. Max, it's really, really great to have you on the podcast today.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. It's a great honor to be with you. Send you greetings from San Antonio. I hope you're doing well.
We love to hear how leaders get to where they are. At Living Wholehearted, we do a lot of work in helping people understand their stories and how God has used all the pieces of their life. Curious about your own story and what have been some of those key pieces that are influencing what you're doing today as a pastor and an author encouraging millions.
Well, do we have 3 or 4 hours?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm a converted drunk. I was a mess. No parent would want their daughter to go out with the 21-year-old version of Max Lucado. I was a scoundrel, a brawler, a profligate, just a mess. A friend convinced me to start attending church. I knew I should. I'd been raised going to church, and the pastor had a beautiful, beautiful tone and a conviction about grace. And that changed me. And I decided to redirect my career. I wanted to be a missionary and ended up in South America, in Brazil. And that's also where I started writing. And after 5 years in Brazil, I had a chance to be a pastor of a church in San Antonio. I moved to this church in 1988. I kept writing about a book a year or maybe two. And that was a long time ago. That was 35 years ago that I moved here. And it's been full of ups and downs, but the ups have been more than the downs. Some wonderful moments, but as with anything, some challenging moments. I have a happy, happy marriage, 42 years yesterday.
Congratulations.
three kids and a covey of grandkids. Right now, I'm 68 years old. I'm in a season of ministry that we call teaching pastor at our church. I'm not quite out to pastor. I'm a pastor, but I don't lead the staff anymore. I do preach, though, about 20 times a year, and I still write and travel somewhat, not nearly as much. So the intensity has dialed back some. I enjoy that, but it's a good season.
Yeah, that's a hard season when you're moving from being the lead pastor, overseeing the staff, to now what? So has this been a really healthy shift of just being able to be just involved enough? But what about for those that are behind you? You're a big, that's hard shoes to fill. So with you being around still.
Transition in any organization is tricky. It really is. I think we're doing it well. I really do. And that's largely due to my successor. He's a bright guy. I always say young guy, but he's 43. So I don't know, but he's quite a bit younger than I, but he's very energetic. And I think what he does that's good is that he honors the past. It's not a jolt from my style to his style. He is quick to say this has always worked and we're never going to stop this. He's smart. He kind of got a little bit of savvy to him, wisdom. And rather than move in with a whole bunch of new ideas, he realized that the ship wasn't broken, so there wasn't any need to fix it. But he is taking us in a better direction. He connects much better than I ever did with a younger age group. He's very intentional in his relationship with the staff. So there's a whole lot to like about this transition. And so I feel great. I mean, if I got hit by a bus tomorrow, the church is in fantastic shape. And I often volunteer. Every year I retire to him. I say, Travis, I'm here unless you say go. Once you say go, I'll say I'm out because I want that to be his call. And I hold on to this role with open hands.
Work with people in succession planning in business and in ministry and respect that transition. It is a sacred transition. It's not easy and it's rare that it goes well.
Yeah.
He's fortunate to have you and you're fortunate to have him, it sounds like. That's really great, yeah. Max. Yeah, so far so good. Well, your new book isn't written for the super saint, but for those with a tilted halo here is what we're seeing. What do you mean by these titles? And do you count yourself among the first group or the second? You kind of gave away that the answer to that, I guess, at the beginning. Yeah. But talk about that a little, Max.
I have a halo. It's really tilted. But this book is about Jacob, who I find the most intriguing of the patriarchs. When God introduces himself, he always says God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Never excludes Jacob. I would exclude Jacob. Jacob, the scoundrel.
He's a scoundrel.
He was always trying to work the system. He was trying to bargain with God and negotiate with others. He broke promises along the way. He broke hearts along the way. The story is a story of every person, of every person. I do think there are some people in Scripture who are so amazing that we read their story and say, how could Moses lead like that? How could Paul write like that? How could Daniel prophesy like that? But then you read Jacob and you say, that's me. That's me. You know, I find myself doing things that I shouldn't do and end up in messes all along the way. And Jacob's story really has as many down valleys as it does mountain peaks. But the hero of his story is God. So if anybody struggles with their faith, if anybody limps more than they stride in their faith, I really think they'll find a friend in the story of Jacob.
I love that. You say that he was a part of a poison system. Talk about that and how did he get out? As people relate to that, they feel like they're stuck in something.
Well, there's a story in the life of Jacob that you never hear in Sunday school. It's a story of a village by the name of Shechem. And it's toward the end of his life, and he's leading his family all the way back to Bethel. He's been in isolation for 20 years, and it's time to come home. And rather than go straight to Bethel like God told him to, he stopped near a village called Shechem. That's the toxic culture, and he got involved in that toxic culture. It was a culture that rewarded brute force over kind service. It was a culture that that idolized strength over sincere servanthood. And he paid a price for it. It's really a gripping story. His daughter got raped. His other sons went on a Rambo mission and slaughtered people. Again, this is one of those stories that you say, wait, this is a patriarch, the grandson of Abraham. And Jacob was horribly passive. He didn't step in. He didn't interrupt everything. He really didn't even protect his daughter or defend his daughter. He didn't try to stop his sons. He is just, he gets, I think, to be a part of the toxic Shechem system. And rather than try to be different, get out, or change it, he just becomes one of it. And that can happen to us. You know, we get these systems, we get these cultures going in our work, or maybe in a home, maybe in a school, even in a nation. We get these cultures, and we get things get upside down. We start valuing a bloodshed over service. You know, we applaud the strength and the misogyny of the leaders instead of the candid kindness of those who are truly leaders. So you just got to pay attention. I guess that's the point of this. You got to pay attention. And if you're in a culture where people are being trampled on, beaten down, battered, and that's not being questioned, not being called into question. In fact, if they're being elevated, if they're being applauded, if they're being awarded or even elected, watch out. You gotta either try to change it. If you can't change it, get out. Jacob eventually did. He did, but not before the damage was done. And it's a good lesson for us all to learn.
It is a good lesson. And he's actually took some of his lessons in terms of the family lineage from his father and his grandfather, right? Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, there were some similarities to some of the mishaps, the tilted halos that they wore as well, even as patriarchs.
Well, correct, I know you guys care a lot about families. And through my many years, I've thought I'm going to teach a series of lessons on successful families in the church. Good luck on that.
No, I can't find them either. I'm like, it's all what not to do.
That's not the craziest thing. Yeah. I mean, God commanded one man, one woman for life. And before you know it, one man has two women or 10 women. And it's not for life, it's short term. Or it's just, we messed it up. That never detracts from God's plan. It's still one man, one woman for life. And so I don't give much quarter to the person who says, well, everybody messed it up in the Bible, so I'm going to mess it up too. No. The purpose of the Bible is to give us the standard. That's the standard. Yeah. Nobody gets it perfectly, but don't blow it on purpose. And so Jacob is one of those, you know, and it's a... Oh, and now's when we really need an hour to tell that story of Rachel.
And, I know.
He's head over heels for Rachel. He worked 7 years to marry her. It all went by like a heartbeat, he said. It was a beautiful romance story. And then how in the world could he be either so drunk or so dumb or so blind with lust that Laban sneaks in Rachel's sister into the wedding tent, and he consummates the marriage not with the Rachel he thought he was marrying, but with her sister Leah that he had no intention of marrying, and all of a sudden he's married to her. Have you ever heard a crazier story in your whole life? And so that's the foundation upon which that family is built. Sister wives who don't like each other, each of whom has a maiden, and Jacob sleeps with all four of them and has kids to all four of them. And all of a sudden you have this crazy house of 12 kids yammering and fighting, and there's no peace in the family. And yet again, these are God's chosen people. And so God keeps his covenant, not because of the people, but in spite of the people. And that's the promise that we take away from.
Man, it just that's God's the hero of this of all of it, right? Because it's not our faithfulness. There's not a faithful one of us. I mean, but He's faithful in that, and that is a great encouragement. You you kind of highlight Jacob in this book, which is wonderful. But yeah, there's so much more. And reality TV has nothing on the brokenness found in the Bible. It is as juicy as it gets, does it not?
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about the person. So as you're sharing, Max, and with such truth and compassion and grace, someone going, then why would I even try to be a follower if I'm all going to be screwed up and these are my models, these are my mentors, these are my, speak to that person right now.
Yeah.
We all know this is about God, but what does this mean about the newer Christian or the someone who's walked with Jesus for 40 years and is just exhausted and tired?
Yeah, two answers to that. Number one, God uses us through our brokenness. It's our brokenness that empowers us. You don't have to keep secrets. You don't have to impress God. He knows you. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees the hearse and the birth, as we say. He knows it all. And so you can relax. You can relax. And God will use your brokenness. God will use your testimony about being in prison. God will use the story about being abused as a child. God will use your testimony about being forgiven for what you did and do and will do. That's part of who you are. That is, as we often say, the message is the mess. You know, it is God working through that messiness. So you can unburden yourself of thinking, I've got to be perfect to be a Christian. No, you will be used through your imperfections. And so that doesn't mean, though, that God wants to leave you there. He loves you where you are, but he doesn't want to leave you there. And little by little, day by day, month after month, year after year, the struggles of a decade ago will begin to diminish. And you really will find victory. You really will set aside those tendencies and bad habits, whatever they are. You'll find they don't dog you as they once did. You'll never be sinless, but you will sin less. And when we're in heaven, we will be sinless. So take hope in that. God will use you, and then he will change you. And that's his promise.
Amen.
Max, you've been a leader for decades here now. You give so much of what you do already in this conversation. I know I've been encouraged. Others that are listening are being encouraged by somebody that's sort of been there and done this and is still seeking to continue to walk the journey in leadership. Speak to a little bit about some of the principles, the guideposts. A lot of folks that tune into our podcast are leading organizations or businesses. They are happen to be parents or married. So we're talking about integrating our leadership with the way we live. How have you stayed healthy? What are some of the principles that you pass on to say markers to emerging leaders or even to seasoned leaders where you could begin to see them starting to struggle? How have you stayed healthy in this journey? It's just a long haul.
It is a long haul, but it is going to go fast. You know, it is going to go fast. I think having mentors helps, and those mentors need to be changed according to the season of life you're in. I'm 68 years old, and I really do desire to finish strong. And so I'm looking for those who have gone ahead of me and who did finish strong. I love the story of Charles Stanley. My hero is Charles Swindoll. I text regularly with David Jeremiah. Of course, Dr. Stanley's in heaven, but Dr. Swindoll and Dr. Jeremiah are both in their 80s and they're serving strong. And I try to pick up on their example, and because I want to follow in footsteps of those in my culture, my world, who are finishing strong. So I find great examples, having a good example. Bob Russell's another one in Louisville, Kentucky. People who are just a decade or decade and a half ahead of me, and they're doing what I aspire to do. So I watch them, and if nothing else, I say, okay, it can be done. Because they've done it before.
Good word. Well, our time is wrapping up. I just want you to have permission to leave with one last word of encouragement for our listeners. What's on your heart at this moment that you want to say to them? And as they're living their lives and walking along with God, some of them questioning, some of them wanting to leave, some of them wanting to finish the race strong.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's because I'm writing a new book on end times. And so on my heart is this idea of how important our work is. That we're inviting people to make a decision and live a life that will bear ramifications for eternity. Mm-hmm. And so this is not just a small thing we're about. High stakes, crucial. There's an appropriate weightiness to it. It is a holy calling. And whatever world, part of the world we're in, our calling is a holy calling. And so take it seriously. Well, you got to balance it. Not so seriously, it weighs you down. But seriously, so that you're not flippant about life. You know, these days are passing quickly. And the end is coming soon, if not for us personally, certainly globally. So may God's richest blessings be on all of you, and may you stay strong.
Thank you.
Thank you, Max.
We're so grateful for you today. Thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you. It's a great treat to see you.
God bless you, Pastor.
Bye-bye.
Blessings. Our kids not only crave connection with us and with God, they need it. One of the strongest ways we can show love to our kids is through words of encouragement, not just thinking it, not just acts of service, but using our words to bless them and encourage them and tell them who they are and who God is and how He's showing up in their life. That's why Christian Parenting created Noteworthy Prayers. These 50 customizable notes were designed to help you remind your kids that you love them, you're thinking about them, and are always praying for them. And it makes it really easy for us busy parents. Each card has an uplifted message, a Bible verse, a prayer, and a space for you to write your own little note to your child. Simply tear off a page, place it in their backpack, their lunchbox, their bathroom mirror, or their car dashboard for those older kiddos, wherever they will find it. Get creative. And remember, your kids are never too old or never too young to hear how much you adore them. For more information and to get your cards, head over to cpgive.org. That's cpgive.org.
Well, that was amazing, having just connected with Max Licato, basically one of the heroes of our faith in our generation, mm-hmm. in terms of a pastor and author and writer and teacher who is in his mid to late 60s and looking ahead to mentors who are ahead of him to finish well. And what an inspiration.
I love it. His new book, God Never Gives Up on You, sounds like one I'm going to pick up today. I mean, I get every Max Licato's book. My favorite is the You Are Special series. I still read to my teenage girls.
It's touched our lives. It really has. And you've used those principles in adults and all kinds of different trainings. It's a remarkable book, and it's not his only one. Man, he is prolific in his writing.
Yeah. And I think what I love about Max, particularly, you hear it in this interview today, is he's been found by grace. I love that he said his first exposure to the church was with a pastor who really understood grace. And you hear that throughout all of his messages. That's why I like You Are Special. So there's this little guy, Punchinello, and all the Wemmicks, this little town, go around trying to give each other dots and stars.
For performance.
Right? Yeah. If you do something well, you look pretty, you wear something, or you can dance or sing, you get a star, right? Think about our culture, right? Our performance-based culture. We go around applauding one another with all of our gifts and talents. And then if you mess up, you get a dot, right? Yeah. So if you're not smart enough, you don't fit the mold, you wear the wrong clothes, all the things, you get a dot.
Everybody sees the stars and dots on each other.
Yeah.
Right?
And they're just going around like with authority to be able to do that. Well, then there's this woman this girl, Licia, who goes and shows up, and Punchinello's like, you don't have any dots or stars. She's like, let me tell you the secret. So she goes and invites Punchinello to go visit Eli, the woodmaker. So they're all little wooden people. And she goes and spends time daily with Eli, who obviously is God in these children's books. But she spends daily time, and Eli reminds her how special she is, that she's beautiful, that she's made just the way he made her. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't need everybody else to tell her whether she's good or not good. And she tells Punchinello, if you spend some time with Eli, eventually the stickers don't stick. Eventually. And I even heard today Max saying that. In 10 years, you'll notice as you hang out with God and God's people,
little by little,
eventually the stickers won't stick. He didn't say it that way, but you know, I heard
you
it.
You won't struggle with some of the things that you as much are struggling with now, and as you hang with Eli, essentially.
The voices of shame, the voices of performance, I've got to be something. And so I just hear that with Max. I love his message today. I'm really excited about this book, but the idea that he's been touched by grace and
profoundly. And he started his journey. He said, you never want to know the 21-year-old Max, just drunk scoundrel. I mean, it comes from a personal place, like it does for all of us when we're really touched by grace. Mm-hmm. Grace is something you can't earn. You don't deserve it. That's what it's amazing about it. And it's encouraging to see somebody sit in the seat of leadership, kind of go from that origins, right, of being captured by God's grace through another person. It was the pastor. And then you see the fruit from that. And you never know what kind of impact you may be having on someone's life that you're leading. A lot of us in our podcast here are leaders in that way. It's so important to attune to that. Yeah. Small stuff matters.
Okay. And then he mentions mentors, right? Like we all know we need mentors, but I almost wanted to ask a clarifying question, but we didn't have time. He pursues his mentors. I'm guessing that those guys at different stages of life, you need older, more seasoned people. And the older you get, I sit with a lot of seasoned leaders as their counselor for years, as their executive coach. Mm-hmm. And I'm still saying I'm 20 years younger than you. You still need someone else who's been there, done that. Mm-hmm. It gets harder the older you are. So he is asking to meet with them. He's pursuing them. I'm assuming that, but I do think that that's part of the dynamic for leaders is we've got to pray who is it? And then go ask, would you be willing to mentor me? Would you be willing to walk with me?
It's ancient wisdom. I mean, and maybe this isn't going to sound ancient, but as it relates to just even decades ago, when I first heard this author and pastor and speaker, Stu Weber, speak, he talked and read Tender Warrior, one of his books, because he talked about this concept of provision, not just the word provision, but provision. So advanced vision. And he described, and I think others described how important also it is to have someone pulling you up, someone that you are engaged with on a colleague kind of level, a mentoring or discipleship level that you're investing in a leadership sort of same level space, and then someone that you are pulling beneath you up also.
Not pushing down.
Yeah, and so there's sort of a healthy rhythm of leadership where you're being pulled up, where you're dealing with people on a similar level, and then somebody, at least somebody, and that can be a child, it can be somebody that works for you, someone that you're around that you're pulling up as well.
Young mom,
it's a good rhythm for living. And you hear that from Max. He's being pulled up here. He's mid-60s.
Yeah, 68, I think is what he said. Oh, I love it. What a gift. You can tell that we are geeking out a little bit with Max. We would have loved to have him for the full 2 hours that he offered, but he is a wanted man. So he had to move on to his next interview. But before we close up this piece, we also want to remind you that sometimes those mentors do need to be a confidential paid space. Sometimes it is needed to have a counselor for a short season or an executive coach, especially leaders. There's just not a place to go. Yeah. So remember that we're here for you. This is our passion. Whether you're wanting help to be a healthier leader in your home, in your work, in your ministry, maybe there's just a lot of things that you don't know that you need. I mean, I hear that from a lot of my clients. They go, I didn't even know I needed this, but that's part of being a sounding board and a mirror and a confidential place where people can, outside your system, outside of the place you're serving and you're loving, to be able to help you grow and to pull you up. And there's some benefits to the boundaries that we have. So I think the mentorship that Max is speaking to is more a personal relationship that's in our spheres. And then to be able to have someone who you pay to be able to come coach you or to be a counselor in your world is also a part of staying healthy for the long haul. You can learn more about Max Lucado. You can go to Facebook or Instagram or Twitter at Max Lucado. That's M-A-X-L-U-C-A-D-O. And his website, maxlucado.com, has every book that you need from him and all his resources, and probably including his sermons. But his latest book, God Never Gives Up on You, with the Life of Jacob.
All right. Until next time, be the leader that you would follow.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.